We're going to be talking this morning about God, about His nature, about getting a further glimpse of God as He really is. Just before we read the fourth scripture, I'm going to ask Ted to come and sing a song. I didn't tell him what the heart of my message was this morning, but the song that he sang in the early service, just seemed to, in another way, it explores the heart of God and His care and the drought for us.
I would love to tell you what I speak of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and clean among lost. I would tell you how He's changed my life completely. He did something that no other power could do. No one ever cared for me like He did for us. There's no other parent so kind that as He. No one else could face this Jesus and darkness from him. Oh, how much He fell on me. For belonging. Every day He comes to me with newer sorrows. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to sing. Till that day I see His face in heaven above. No one ever cared for me like me drugs. There's no other friend so kind as me. No one else could take the storms and darkness grow. Oh, how much He fell on me.
I realize when young people, boys and girls, sit together, there's a tendency to want to catch up on the latest. But I'm going to ask you, what a comma. Whenever you're visiting with hockey, give me your attention here for just a little while. Appreciate this so much. I'm going to have you turn to Psalms 23, one of the most familiar portions of the description in the whole Bible. Psalms 23. And there's something you're going to discover in that Psalms. I wonder if there's anybody here that thinks they might have read this Psalm a hundred times. Do y'all see the hand? Holder. Must be a hundred people. Is there anybody here that thinks they might have read it 500 times? Yes, and here's a couple. I'll tell you, it's a good Psalms. I believe my mother did. I think she read the whole Psalms 500 times. But I don't think you could wear out that section of the Bible in four or five different Bibles in just a few years' time if you didn't read them all the time. But there's something so good about the, you know, Psalms. And in this Psalm, David is giving us a little picture of his things about God. He knew that I don't believe there is another subject or another area that people are have greater misconceptions concerning than they do about God. These concepts are very so much, and there's such a wide variety of ideas that people might have if they were to try and describe God to you. But David learned something about God. We learned that he was a very personal God. And in this psalm, he just tells how that God has come walking out of ivory palaces. He has come walking down from the farthest control room, star of heaven, down and has become somebody that cares. He's a permanent son. David found this out. So we're going to read together. I'd like for you to read aloud and in unison the entire 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, what a beautiful psalm. I'd like to have you keep your Bibles open for just a moment and notice the a little instanter that David had toward God, regarding God. And that is the hurt them all with Nathan Kitt. Now, God doesn't really mean to you what he wants to mean to you until you can say, he's mine. And then when you can say, not only is he mine, but he's my shepherd, and then tell all the things that he does. Now, just a few moments ago, I took out my pen, and I drew a little box of around all of our personal pronouns with. Do you just can't imagine how many times David's talked about himself there? And Carrie, you can talk about yourself and God in the same breath. You still have a way to go. To think we still have a way to go anyway, but we're a little short what God intends. You know this. In this little tiny chapter, there are four I's, five my's, seven me's, and one mine. A total of, what is that, 17. That's a total of 17 personal pronouns. I heard someone complaining one time about this. An individual who was giving a testimony, and he said, why, all I hear is I and mine, gee, like this, just relating to himself. It kind of made me feel like shouting hallelujahs. You can really specify when God does something for you personally. When it's something that is just hearsay or hope-so or somewhere else, it doesn't have quite the same times. But it's pretty hard to pull from a person that which they know as it relates to them. David discovers that God was a true, wonderful shepherd. Now, it's important that we learn to know God. All right. We are living in the greatest days of all history, folks. We're living in a day when God is moving by his Spirit. When we're experiencing things, days of rest. Faithful are we, weak strollers, back in the wonderful fellowship with God. The many supernatural ministries that God himself initiates are being seen in action again among the people. happening such as Moses experienced when he stood by the burning bush are again taking place. You realize what happened in the case of Moses. Moses was had a very definite spot that God had foreordained him for in his great plan and purpose. God spoke to Abraham 700 years before and said, "My descendants are going down into the land of Egypt." And there in the land of Egypt, they're going to be slaves, bondsmen for 400 years. After that, I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand. The fullness of time came. God said, "I have heard the cries of those people in that land of slavery, and his clock that he has set, the alarm is out." And he says, "I have come down." And so we go, damn. It was the fullness of time for their sojourn in the land of Egypt. And in order to continue this preparation, God had prepared Moses. He had spared his rice as a base. Moses was out in the back country for 30 years. The call had been in his heart. But for 40 years, he was out tending sheep, wondering. And I wonder if God hasn't forgotten me. I want to do something for God so bad, and here I am. I said, "Well, the only type of life that I influence are the sheep." But in the fullness of time, Moses was doing what God had given him to do. God was not behind, he was not ahead. And the fullness of time, in time to deliver and see that his great promise was carried out, God met Moses at the burning bush. Moses saw the bush, but it didn't burn up. That meant him. It was a supernatural manifestation. Moses knew. He was convinced. Moses had to have this revelation of God's prowess, or he could have never led the children of Israel up. He should have gone back down there and turned his back. But Moses already felt like he was insecure. Somebody told me one time, when you live around a bunch of sheep, you get a feeling like that. You talk to sheep like you would people, and then when you find people, you talk to people like you would sheep. And it doesn't work with us. So Moses said, I can't talk. You remember the stories. But he says God was with him. God proved himself to him. Moses was able to lead these people out. So words today. God has made another promise. Now, he hasn't told us the exact day and time like he did Abraham about his descendants. But he did tell us that in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time, Michael, or is it Isaiah, just Gabriel, and blows the trumpet, would pick up the trumpet and give a blast, and God's people would be delivered from this world. Egypt is always a type of the world. But in preparation for this hour, God is again bringing men and women to the burning bush. They're seeing the fires. God is speaking to them. He says, "I have a job to do." People are saying, "Well, I'm unable. I'm not adequate. I'm not sufficient in myself to do these things that you're asking me to do." But God says, "I will be with you. I'll help you." And I'm constantly, people are coming and saying, God gave me an opportunity to witness to someone, and I was so fearful, I didn't know for sure what to say, but it seemed like God gave me direction. He helped me to see things that I hadn't even thought of before. God was saying, how many of you have had that experience? Well, for many of you, you're proving what we're saying this morning, that this great renewal and awakening is coming because of the fullness of time. Jesus is coming back, and God has his people out, readying folks for that great evacuation. Me, sir? Please, God. God revealed himself in a beautiful way to Moses And in this day, in that day, brothers, as God used, he fairly could be used as God. God has to give them a revelation as himself. Now, there are a lot of people today that are asking for spiritual gifts. They're saying, what is this key? What is the secret to make this work? And they're looking for the secret, for this key, for an operational spiritual gift before they get a glimpse of God, who he really is. But God's order is, when we see him, these other things fall into place, and God can use this. Otherwise, and God, for the pattern that he has set. I see not only Moses with his experience, but Moses in Exodus 33, verse 18 and 19, Moses cried out to God, "Show me thy glory." In other words, he had already seen the supernatural move of God, but in seeing this, he wanted to see God more as he was than ever before. "Show me thy glories." And God let him know that he would allow him to see this. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible. There's some good reading there that will inspire you. God let him see what he was really like there. God said, "I will make all of my goodness to pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious, and I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But somebody says, "God, you forgot to tell Moses you're going to show him your ass." True. People are so consumed that if you start talking about what God is really like, you're going to make people so they'll be restless and careless and turn away from God. This is a bunch of nonsense. People can't really live to please God till they have a glimpse of him as he really is. He wants us to be God conscious and not sin conscious. There used to be some books printed, and I imagine they're still being tossed in some areas, that are about the wrath of God, which is included in the Bible. God points to his wrath, but not until after he has pointed to the true nature. The wrath of God is reserved, he tells us. It's reserved for those who refuse to accept him and walk with him. But these books, and I preached this for a while because I thought it was so. I thought stuff that was in a book that you learn in Bible school and you could buy down at the Christians of Limestone was true. And so when it said there's 8 times as much mention of the wrath of God in the Bible as the love and the loving kindness of God, I kind of believed and I didn't cast it out. Somebody could have told a big lie. I want you to know that every sign that God makes mention of himself to his people, he's telling about his school in Easter. In this method this morning, I'm the portrait of God. I want you to see what God is really like. It's kind of grew on me. I'm not a little bit too busy, so I'm going to have it in 4 sermons. The name of God is one beautiful facet. It's like a flash from the diamond. And then his righteousness. I don't want anybody to miss when I bring you that message from God's word on his righteousness. It's so totally different than what people have realized and what they've assumed and written. I'm going to say it right out of the word of God, what his righteousness really is. And this is a part of his beautiful portrait. Then I'm going to show you what his word has to say about another angle of his fiscus, and that is his mercy. And then one that will excite you is the faithfulness of God. And so, he said, "I'll let my goodness pass before you, and in the 34th chapter and the verse 5, he tells us how the Lord met him. He said, you can't see my face, but I want you to know I'm going to stand right there beside you. And man, my eye to eye. So you can still live because I'm so bright in all of my glory that you couldn't look at me and live. But I want you to know I'm going to stand right there with you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to describe to you what I'm going to do. And so here we read it in the 5th verse. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Oh, hallelujah. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And then the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. He's disgracing himself now. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. But again, somebody says, isn't there some mention of his wrath? Not until he's described as this. People have it backwards. They're wanting to curl out, and they haven't caught a glimpse of what God is really like. Yes, when they're hurling out all the rant, in all honesty, they feel as if they're burning something that if people can somehow see the wrath of God, they're be frightened in the turnings of God and living for God. But God, since he learns what I might, but those who recuse me, there is a dark side. And that is the wrath of God that would be wheeled out upon those who refuse to serve him and live for him. But in his horse rate, I'm himself, that he's him to the world. And the bearer of hearts that he opens up the people does not a door of fear indeed, but it's the door to God. How he wants it to be yours. How he wants to lead you and guide you. How he wants to feed you and those ears that are so green and just a green forth by the still waters. Bring peace to your service. Bring restoration to you. He, God, is as much as saying, I want you. I'm interested in you. Those things that are important to you are important to him. Or the nurse, I'm going to have to really hustle here because I want to really get the heart of it. Not only did Moses have this experience of seeing God as he really was, but Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, Isaiah said, "I in the year of this king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I had a glimpse of him." Isaiah has been a pretty good guy up to now. You see, he had heard all this. He had heard plenty about the wrath of God. He had heard plenty about sin, but he's not even a pretty good guy. But nothing really got all hurled with him until he saw the Lord. And when he saw the glimpse of God, as it was, well, he said, well, what beauties, what glory. Then he just happened to glance down at himself. Well, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, never holding them in the feet with unclean lips, because mine eyes have seen thee. Wow. Oh, well, if you want people to see the rottenness in them, men of human endeavor and efforts, let them get a glimpse of God. He cried, oh, God, I heard him as I do. And I've told you, you don't have to study. You don't have to try and lift yourself to a higher level. That awareness wasn't just seeing me. And then knowing we're on self-worth, that there's nothing you can do. But not. He said, Teraphim, he's in my hole, the mighty outside. Flex this man breath and lips and carry a message to him and say, your iniquity or your sin is forever. First iniquity. God everyone. Yeah.
What fraud of all about?
Zombie. I caught a glimpse of God. Oh, what a difference it made to him. He said I was caught up into the third heaven, and I heard things that I couldn't describe. I got a glimpse of an MSP, and it just jumped to me. And now I'm able to share it with you and tell you what God is like. I remember the disciples in John, the 14th chapter, in the 8th verse. They cried out, "Share us the Father." And it surprised the cuss. It's just thinking. My glance, your grim so sad. Do I help me? You know what's taking place today? Just like these men of earth that caught a glimpse of God and their word ministry changed. And their ability to help people was increased. God is in this great meeting room today. He's placing his hand upon people's lives. He's lifting their gaze. He's letting them behold him in all of his fullness and his glory. And here he is, where the supernatural acts of God are being outpoured and are being manifested in every one of these cases. That individual has seen the Lord. And their message is the same. God has been moved from that. Yeah. Tell it. The scripture in that page where people are looking at him totally wrong as though somehow they have to honor and obey or catch God in the right mood for him to care for them. Keep looking. There's another verse there in Exodus, the 34th chapter. He's going to read on down to verse 10. Where after Moses had a chance to see God in all of his glory, God said, "Now, let me tell you what's going to happen now that you've seen me." He said, "I'm going to do things that are for grace and for witnesses." That is going to make you stand back in awe. Because you had a chance to see me. And I have inquired, I've talked, I've read, I've had reports of people that are seeing the wondrous thing happen. That are causing people to stand back and say, "It has to be stopped." And things that we're seeing happen, my Jews, people are saying, "It has to be God. This is the lady Simon. This is my way in the world." Where's it happening anyway? It's God. And in these cases, in each instance, that individual has caught a glimpse of God. I've had people come. I had two fat to this week. Come and skin me. Ask me. I sure what is the key? At what point in time in our ministry did it seem like this acceleration in the flow of the supernatural took place? Can you give us some key? I've had several come and say, "Is there some equation, some formula for we should be see the same thing happen?" And where is that, again, that desire for the thing without believing God? But I had a chance to talk to these men this week. One of the men, one of the factors here in the army suffered to the kingdoms and said, "Pastor, I am so hungry for this move of God in my own life, my own ministry. I can't stand it." He wanted to pray with him for him. He's going to be coming back each week and then seeing some of the beauties of God with him. Hallelujah. You know what's going to happen? God is going to show you his glory. Hallelujah. God. And Jesse, now that happened with Moses before the great evacuation took place, God is prevailing people. He's putting the hunger in the heart. He's saying, "God, he's showing you love. Look to me, Mr. Me." And he's creating that restlessness and that hunger within their hearts. People are coming off of a 30-year stint in the desert, and they're finding the burning bushes. Glory to God. And if on our mission, these are the most beautiful days of all. Both. I mentioned the people in the early service. One of the things that happened this week at 3 of these, I think, can't thank God enough. Remember a few weeks ago when I spoke to this woman that was released from Black that God put in my mind to have. Somebody heard about this. They wanted the service because heard about it in another church. And they brought a lady that has a disease in her brain, in the Roman, by fourth at the time, even in the part that the control was the body, not the stinky part, but the other part were deteriorating to where she was in New York, bad to her control. Now, I didn't feel like anything particular happened in crazy, but at the moment, I didn't get anything. The fish weeks. We had a little, in order to get a hold of me, I was ministering to people, I couldn't take the phone. He called three times. One time she said, I'll just hold, and she held it for several, 10 minutes or more. But she called again, but they get a hold of me. And me, she practically shouting on the phone, hallelujah, I'm all healed. A man in fact, praise God. She got a job, moms. She just so excited and so happy. She had to roll me if she was. Oh, I tell you, folks, it's God's doing. God's doing. This is not some individual. It's the fact that we got it. God, I attributed a lot of this to my, with these men that have come. I told them it was from God. Let me teach. Called me the glory of God. It's hitting. I'm not running anything different. In fact, I'm struggling and straining a whole lot less. If God can't do it, I know I can't. What's Tim sharing you need in? Boy, the enemy know it. It doesn't have to be allowed. Nice for an enemy to leave. He recognized her apart. Ding dong, I mollet down. Tim flew halfway. He asked to go. Hallelujah. And the Lord, in honoring him, the Lord his wife's gift, I mean, and raised out yet. I was mentioning about the church like Sister McCall, first service. And when I talked about that, when I met the Lord on June 19th, 1974, was which beautiful experience in our lazy course gone. Awesome about that. God smiled, made him so happy. If he remembered that day, too, he let me have a sin feeling. I had them off. I was going to explode right here in the platform. And he said, well, I shouldn't talk for a couple of minutes. Many of you were here for that service. He wasn't there. God let me see who he was. He was really like, oh, my God. How old is she? And he watches, sees it's a life guy. He said, if you want to know what he really likes, then you would look at me. He made a lot of it. Joy. He threw my lawn stuff. My gentleman. See how I love you and how I care for you. Praise God. We're going to, he's just bringing a couple or more fruit here quickly. In conclusion, because Moses got a glimpse of God, he described what God was like in his last word to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 33, and verse 3, he talks to them. And you see here a little bit of, Moses couldn't have said this at one time, but now he's had a glimpse of the Lord, and he's describing what God is really like, his love for them. And he talks to all the 12 tribes here and told them something wonderful, God's feelings, and all these feelings that God had for those people are toward us too. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 3, yea, he loves the people. It's a good picture, this part of the source rate is his love. He loved the people.
Aware of his teeth are in his hand. You're unhearing about it.
Feel her in his hand. Because he's your shepherd and care for you. You're in his hand. And the flat down at your feet. He's caring enough for you if they can't. You're close. I want to be your first. You're about. They flat down as a steeze and they received the eggs. He turned his word here into the living word. It's praise yourself. In the 12th verse, he's talking to the tribe of Benjamin, and he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. That place of strength says he's going to be taken care of by God. He's let him know. Break down the fight. He's giving us a picture here. And he says he's going to cover him all day long. He means that beautiful covering of his right knee over the top of youths all day long. All night long. So that you could say to the devil when he comes to you and said, a fine Christian you are. Look what you thought. Look what you may have said. You just kick him in the pen. Don't need a big old liars. God's covering you. All the damn. I wonder if he's covering you. But as long as you want to live for God, there aren't enough devils in hell before you wake up. He does that. Okay, he's done. And so it's a glimpse of God. Paul had this glimpse when he wrote in the 8th chapter of Romans when he says, nothing will separate. You can get up and walk away if you want to. If you remember it, they want to walk away. Turn your back on him. Some people do. Then I'd like for you to notice his care there and speaks to Asher in verse 25, 26, 27. Thy tools shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like the God of Jeshurun who rideth upon the heaven in thine help. But he's telling you this. He cares enough about you that he's hearing troubles. He is too clear across the heaven to get with me up. To help you. Very good. The eternal God is thy refuge. You've got a place to hide. And underneath are the everlasting arms. You say, I just can't stand anymore. I'm going to fall. It was all right. You'll fall right in the end. Underneath are those everlasting arms. How will they be? And he said, the enemy might press you in every size, but use them to your wealth. I know I'm supposed to be strong enough to be able to put the enemy. But he told me, just be pretty humor. He's reached out the enemy from before you. And you'll say, now he's on the run. Stay out there and destroy it. Praise God. Praise God. Then that 29th verse, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, or a people. Thank God the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the store of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars under thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And strongholds are the enemy.
Well, I have no yet. Point me to catch your vision.
And the strongholds of the enemy are falling the base around the world because people are fighting. Praise God. I have to talk to Lincoln. Isaiah. I'm not going to read all of these, but I would like to read just a reference. They're so beautiful. Read them this afternoon or this week. Isaiah 63:9. He said that, you know, Isaiah, she caught a glimpse of God and saw what he was really like. And so now you could tell the people that, and we're afflicted, when we're hurt, he hurts you. In all of our affliction. But he said, he helps us during that time and carries us through. Then in Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, he said, mothers might have even been known to forget their kids. But he said, the glimpse that I had of God, to be the God, that I never forget. That's what I feed you. You'll never forget
Isaiah 38:17.
By the way, this God, he has such a great job, and he cares so much about this. He wrote totally all of that. So let's try that.
He'll take them as far as the east as from the west.
This is the God that I saw. I next.
This is him. Paul caught a glimpse of him too, and over in Ephesians 2:4-8, he tells us that we who were dead,
best gods and sins, now we're made alive. So he shared his life. And he said, he brings his glory to us, and he raised us up and shed him heavenly places with him, beholding his glory. For he buried his life, and this great God that we're talking about sharing his glory with it. And then that's
the God that I discovers cares so much about us,
he's a Mexican on the plan.
That in the ace of the gun,
he's going to show us his loving things. He's been with us the heat of his loss. About the ages. Oh, that's it.
Then I always have to come back to this. If you want to really know
a scripture for the truths that is found in the other parts of the Bible,
ask Jesus about it. Jesus, what is God like? Is he really a God of love? Think you really care about people?
You read over it in John 17:23-26. Jesus had no reason here to try and prove a point. All he was doing was having a little chat with the prophet. And so he wasn't establishing doctrine here. He wasn't even given a rule to live by. He was just talking to his father. And I think that everybody that has a Bible should turn to this. John 17:23-26. Because it might be a good idea for us to read verse 22. Try what it can. Talking to his father now, and he said, Father, the glory which thou gavest me,
I have given them. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Now here's what he said, that the world may know not only that he sent me, but that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
For us to Jesus,
the enemy that God loved us
as much as he loved you, Jesus neglected that the way it said. Oh, I'm a loose here. Now I'm going to have to take your speed of goods.
How much God loves David?
God loves you as much as he loves Judas. We read down here in verse 26.
I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. That's the love for which thou hast loved me
may be in you. Hallelujah.
Don't look for a reason why that isn't true.
It is true. Don't wish to miss them, but miss them. It's true. Ask God to give you a revelation that you'll see it's true. That's one of the men Jesus put in. And he's tell his heart speak. Jesus will tell him how to live with that. Somebody asked him, John, what is God like?
John said, well, best way I can describe this is in one little four-letter word.
God is love.
And in the experience that the Lord has given me, I feel so honored, humbled. I don't understand why.
Don't pretend to fly.
And it's not a one-time experience. It's something that the Lord continues to do. And I believe that with his church,
with the people that the Lord is bringing down the county. They're catching the blindness. Oh, the law laughs. And each vote's different than Mr. Hodges, but has been pictured with that. We got love with others. But that's feeling the voluntarities, but it can with one smile. He wants you to.
That whole atmosphere in heaven is bursting with joy.
Not meanness. Praise God. And unless you're trying to guide Jimmy, I was learning to know him a little bit better. And I have never been so dry in my whole life. I've never been as reliant. You know what? I've been my God. And God told me. The bank. You can't move into the main room. I already know that you can't make any impression on me. Take you this world, and I love you just the way you are. Well, will you? So, you're not going to let me. I'm not going to try and make it hard for me and love you. If he loves me the way I am, I'm going to just accept this. Hallelujah. And I don't feel like walking on tiptoes around yards. I don't feel like walking with soft around him because he's my God. He's a God that, but it's ours. We can pray to him. He's mine. He's mine. And when you believe, I am. He's the world about me. Hallelujah. The devil isn't going to have it. It's with you. I want you to know. Because the enemy will be destroyed. You know, I just feel this morning that the Lord has something to say for every virgin that has come. I believe that we have it tonight. And he's already revealed. I believe that was like the skin of Israel. As they saw the glory of God, they saw his mercy, goodness, total. They bowed, they humbled themselves, and they cried out to him how he worshiped the Lord and prayed his name. We are warning and praising the Lord. We have people here from many states. We have people here from many churches. But God doesn't see your differences. He sees what you have in common. That hunger for God. Sure is the Father, and he's the very air man. He is the very man. It's all over you. And then you catch the glimpse of him. Should I be a redemption? That's the real need of Jesus. It seems real. A revelation of God. Yes, one glimpse of him. That there is in this season, we can have something here to bring joy and gladness. Joy, steam. What the world eats. Would you stand with me right now? And if you can lay your Bibles down on the seat, I would like for every person reading our in God's faith right now. He wants to buy you to Christ from your heart. Whether you've ever known him before or not, it doesn't make any difference. It could be the day that he bought you at in with friends. He wants to pull back the cloud. This person's sitting in line. He wants you to see him. Glad you're out. Would you lift your hands toward heaven? And I'd like to have you look your direction. Ask him to reveal himself. Again, pray that prayer, still it, Father. Oh, no, Steve. He used to. As Father, we come to you because as Jesus, he's opened up the way. Cheated. And as you behold him, I believe him and will say to you, I'm heard his voice this morning. I word you on this. Look at him, how to throw them off.
I have learned that the world convenes us with the totality. Greater work than me, if all you do, if I go to my slaughter, and I reveal him. Yes.
Oh, but how do you live with your hallelujahs?
Oh. Man, Jesus. Well, God, we love you. Oh, God. Give us our juicy hearts that are hungering and they've been crying out this for this experience, for this revelation. Right now, we reveal this stealth. Poor little cop, hands before them. As you did, Mr. Houston. Mr. Harris, where are you crying at? Where God? Where God gracious and merciful? Where anger and plenteous and mercy? Where God may we hear it? This Christian of your gospel. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, believe. I don't know how Hannah felt such an incense they thought, but she did. People have. And the testament that he's revealing himself to some people through the day, and the brain, and all every other thing they have been told them. Yeah, I'm wondering. But he is. Brave, Scott. Brave.